pleasure for us to be back. Folks here at Black Creek. Here are the girl, which we are extremely thankful for her. She doesn't know the order of service, so don't get upset with her. Sometimes she'll testify or sing. It's not always the time to testify or sing. And so just let that slide if you would. If her mother does it, that's a different story. We're thankful. We've been fairly busy this year. And it doesn't hardly seem like a year since we were here last year. But it's hardly seems a year has gone by. And it seems like it's just a moment of time. They say as you get older, that gets worse and worse. And so we're trying to keep it slow. We want to enjoy these days while she's not walking. And so we're trying to treasure them. But unfortunately, she's heading that way quickly. And so I'll be honest, I'm too old to chase after a baby. So I don't know what we're going to do, fences, leashes, something, but I can't hardly keep up with her now. So it's going to be bad. So pray for the McVays. They're going through a major life change, and we need prayer. Go back to Ephesians 4, if you would. Those of you who are in Sunday school, we're going to start somewhat where we left off. I'm going to just start a couple of verses down from where we left off. In Ephesians chapter 4. We're talking about the preparation for what we need this week. I want us preparing for what we need from the Lord this week. And we talked about some things to put off, and we're talking about some things to put away. Put off denotes things that you would carry, things that you would bear. And putting away is those things that you have choice in. You can, you've made a conscious decision to put that thing away from you, to put that sin away from you, to put that stumbling block away from you, whatever the case is. And then, Lord willing, in the afternoon, we'll talk about some things that we can put on with the Lord's help. But I want to start down here, and I'm just basically starting verse 31. Read verse 31, 32, and then try to just expound a couple things the Lord's given us. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He says here, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I don't believe that the Lord would give an instruction of such things if it were not possible. This is not something that's unobtainable, although sometimes it may seem that way to us. This is something the Lord knew that we would be able to do, and so he gave us this instruction. He tells us to put these things away from us. First of all, he said this, let all bitterness, and if you can, we'll just kind of gloss over the rest, but let all bitterness be put away from you. Those bitter things, distasteful things, the bitterness of your soul, the bitterness of your heart, the bitterness of the things of life that don't go your way that you just seethe about. And he said, let these be put away from you. I would say it's one of the keys in the Christian life is to ensure that if you do have bitterness, to not only put it away from you, but to learn how to identify it. Learn how to know what it is. Learn how to know when you're getting bitter. Learn how to know how to keep bitterness out of your life. Bitterness is a pill that you take that poisons you in an attempt to destroy other people. You seed with bitterness because of others, yet it destroys you. It destroys those around you, the Bible tells us. And so he said, let this be put away from you. I want to look at a couple instances here in the scripture. If you go back to 1 Samuel first with us. And I want to look at, first of all, this bitterness of soul. And I want to get understanding of the bitterness of soul versus the action, the acting out, if you will, of bitterness. And we see Hannah before the Lord. Hannah has a provocateur. It is Peninnah, her husband's other wife. And of course, she has borne children. She has children, yet Hannah has no children. And so Hannah is not only frustrated, but Hannah is broken. She weeps. She won't eat. And she goes down to the house of God. And there she's praying unto the Lord. And the verse number 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, as she prays, the Bible said she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And so we see here that Hannah has poured out her soul unto the Lord. And the Bible said this, she was in bitterness of soul. There's a bitterness in her being. There's a bitterness in the very fiber of who she was. But I want you to note this, the Lord still heard her prayer. The Lord still knew Hannah when she prayed, marked Hannah when she prayed, and then answered her according to her prayer. I believe I can say this morning. When you're in bitterness of soul, it's something you take to the Lord and solely to the Lord. But when that bitterness creeps out of your soul, and you begin to inflict that bitterness upon other people, that is the bitterness he speaks of to put away from you. There are those of us that have bitter things in our soul. We've all been wrong. We've all been hurt. We've all had terrible injustices done to us. Many in this room have had an unfair chance at life, an unfair shake at life. Maybe we were born under terrible circumstances, or born with affliction, or born in sorrows, or maybe just our upbringing, or the hurt, the pains of death through our family, maybe loss of father, a mother, those close to us. There's no one in here that could say that they've not been hurt somewhere in their life. And we can take those hurts to the Lord. When they become bitterness to our soul, where it's just it's such a grief inside of us, we can pour those requests out to the Lord. We can take those hurts to the Lord. We can take that sorrow to the Lord. But when we begin to inflict it upon others, it's no longer bitterness of soul, it's just bitterness. Mm-hmm. And he said to put these things away. Put these things away from us. There ought not be bitterness in the child of God. Your pastor has taught many times that bitterness, I believe that this phrase he uses, bitterness is the fruit of hatred. Hatred, I believe it is. You say it's the fruit of it. It comes from, as a child of God, you can't hate people, but you just seethe with that bitterness instead. Imagine Hannah takes that bitterness and directs it at her husband. Hannah takes that bitterness and directs it at Peninnah. God forbid that Hannah take that same bitterness of her soul and inflict that now upon Samuel, her son. The destruction to those around her. But no, she prayed in the bitterness of her soul to the God of heaven. She kept those hurts and kept that pain and kept that sorrow. And she kept it between her and God. And the Lord God of heaven heard her. And he answered her according to her prayer. Let's go to the book of Job, if you will. And let me say this morning. And I don't mean that Job could have or should have been bitter. I don't want to say that Job had a reason to be bitter. But I want to say this. If Job indeed were a bitter man, you and I could understand that. Job, who lost everything that he had, save his wife, and save just a little bit of his health, his life, not his health so much, but his life. If anybody had a reason to be bitter, we could understand why Job would be bitter. But here's what the Bible says in chapter 7 of verse 11 of the book of Job. Job said this, therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain, he said this, in the bitterness of my soul. I believe in the context here, Job is not complaining to his friends or just to his wife or just to whoever will listen to his complaint. I believe Job is complaining to the Lord. I believe in the bitterness of his soul, he takes this before the Lord. He is also telling his friends what the bitterness of his soul is. But we never see the secret of Job's complaint. We never see the underlying bitterness of his complaint. We see his lamentation. We see his sorrow. We see his hurt. We see his surmises. We see his ramblings. We see all kinds of look into Job's life. And I'll tell you what I do not see. And if you see it, please let me know. And I'm serious about that. But I don't see the secret things of the bitterness of Job coming out as he speaks. He's bitter in his soul. But he's bearing this before the Lord. He's bearing this ugly thing before God. And he's pleading with the God of heaven after he's lost his family, lost his flocks, and lost his wealth. And he's lost all of these things that he has. And he's before the Lord in the bitterness of his soul. But he kept it before the Lord. I believe when you and I, again, allow that to come out of our prayer closet or never take it into our prayer closet, it begins to become bitterness to us. And it's then that it begins to impact other people. The scripture says to put away all bitterness. Let me give you another verse with Job, if I could do that, please, while we're there. I turn back in the book of Job again one more time here to chapter 10. And I want you to look at verse 1 and 2, just a little justification of what we just said. My soul is weary of my life. There's the bitterness of his soul. I will leave my complaint upon myself. There's his complaint. He explains where his bitterness lies. He explains where his complaint is. And then he said this, I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. And what does he say next? I will say unto God. Job says, in the bitterness of my soul, I'm going to speak unto God. Amen. He's saying, in my outward, what you see, my soul is weary of my life. That's the bitterness of his soul. Weary of life, the hurt of life, the pain of life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. He said, I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Would it be that you and I, in our bitterness of soul, that we would come to the Lord and say, Lord, where are you contending with me? Can I say it like this? Why do I have this lot in life? Lord, why did you allow this to fall on me? Why couldn't this fall on somebody else? That's wherein bitterness lies. I don't deserve this. I deserve better than this. And then when you look at others and you say, well, look at him over there. Look at her over there. Why couldn't this happen to them and not me? Is that not the malice of the heart coming out that you think that you don't deserve something, but somebody else deserves that wrath?
Exactly right.
Why do I have to have this lot in life? Why do I have to have this affliction? Why do I have to have this sorrow? Why do I have to have this hurt?
My wife and I, some of you probably got a text from Sister Ruth Ann. We got a phone call just the other evening from a dear family we've known for many, many years. And their 2-year-old son, who's had many afflictions since he was born, they took him to the hospital simply to change his PICC line. And he died. 2 years old, not even 2 years old. All they were doing was changing the PICC line. That mother today, no doubt, has bitterness of soul. No doubt there's a hurt and a sorrow that only a mother could know. There's a hurt that nobody else can understand but losing that precious baby, that one you love, that dear precious one. But that mother takes that bitterness of soul before the Lord. And in her affliction and in her grief, she pours her heart out to God, inquires of the Lord, why? And by the way, between you and the Lord, it is okay sometimes to say why. I do believe that.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Why? I don't understand this. Why me? But if that bitterness begins to bubble and begins to surface, it'll be this, why me and not others? Why me and not these other heathens that live next door to me? Why me and not other godless people that are degenerates? Why do I have to suffer this? Hannah, in the bitterness of her soul, asking the Lord why she doesn't have a child. And she watches a woman that mocks her bearing children. And Hannah, in the bitterness of her soul, brings her complaint unto the Lord and her grief unto the Lord, and the Lord heard her. Job is saying, I'm going to take this to the Lord. I want to know. I need to understand. Can I say it this way? What have I done? Is this judgment? And by the way, I think it's very fair and very right of us to ask the Lord in situations like that. Is this wrath? Is this judgment? Lord, I understand why this has taken place, but I need to know. Imagine now Job stops with his complaint of the Lord and just becomes a complaint to his buddies. And he begins to question everything that's taken place in his life. As they have indicted him, what if Job turned around and began to indict them? Well, you deserve this more than I do. And by the way, that's really the root of bitterness. You deserve far worse than what I'm getting. How come you're getting away with it? How come you don't have this problem? How come you're not suffering like I'm suffering? And begins to pour out that bitterness. Imagine if Job turns as his own wife has done and becomes bitter against his wife. You're the reason I'm in this mess. You're the reason I'm in this trouble. But no, he's bearing bitterness of his soul. And he's bearing it before the Lord. Thirdly, with Job. Chapter 21. Starting verse 22. Shall any teach God knowledge? Seeing he judges those that are on high, or those that are high. One dieth in his full strength. And by the way, Job's explaining this now. Being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk. His bones are moistened with marrow. And he said this, and another dieth in the bitterness of his soul. And never eateth with pleasure. They shall lie down alike in the dust, and the worms shall cover them. Though I am in bitterness of soul, you are not in bitterness of soul. I have the sorrow of life. You have not the sorrow of life. Why would I want this for somebody else? We're both heading to the same grave. We're both heading to the same death. We're both heading to a day when worms are going to cover this body. We'll be in the grave. You and I both alike are going to die, and we're going to die one of these days and be put in the ground, and the worms will cover us. Why would I wish this on somebody else? One man dies, and he's satiated with milk. He's full of goodness. He eats well. He's become fat with eating. And another man dies in the bitterness of his soul. But what Job's saying is the key is they both died. They're both dead. Imagine our friend in Tennessee, if she or her husband just became bitter towards the doctors, towards the church, towards God, towards family. The absolute destruction of the thinking of this, I deserve to keep my children, but they don't. It could be family members have even thought that of some of us. They don't deserve those children. I promise you this, if you thought that of the McVeighs, I can agree with you. We don't. But we give God the glory. We give God the praise. We don't deserve that little girl. I don't deserve a wife. I don't deserve to be standing here today. It's just the goodness of God and the mercies of God that we could assemble ourselves in the house of God this morning. And even though there's the bitterness of soul, it doesn't have to seethe out of us. It doesn't have to pour into others. It doesn't have to pour out where others become so hurt and so wounded by our actions. We can take these petitions to God. I can tell you a quick self-test to let you know whether or not you're taking your bitterness of soul to the Lord if you're pouring it out on other people. And it's simply this. When you pray, do you bring it up? When you complain to others about your lot in life, the things of life, the hurts of life, are they the first people that have heard it that day? Or has the great God in heaven already heard your petition when you've complained? I find in my own being, I find that when I have failed to take it to the Lord early in the day, I'll find it coming out of my lips later in the day to others because I've not taken it to the Lord. How does bitterness catch up with you? How does bitterness encapsulate you? How do you get wrapped up in bitterness when you fail to take it to God in prayer? You want sympathy? Take it to the Lord. You want a friend? Take it to the Lord. You want someone to agree with you? Take it to the Lord. Man, mortal man, listen, they'll give you FaceTime. They'll nod their head. They'll tell you everything you want to hear about your bitterness. But what they will not do is truly sympathize with you. They're not touched with the feeling of your infirmities. But I know a God that's touched with those feelings. You can come to Him and you can take them to Him and know that He bore them for you. Amen. One more verse in the book of Psalm concerning this part of bitterness. Actually, we go to the book of Proverbs, rather. Proverbs chapter 14. In verse 10. How do we put away bitterness? And by the way, I didn't mean to get bogged down here so long today, but we're here, so let's just ride it out. Proverbs 14 and verse 10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. So what's the problem? Well, the heart's deceitful above all else. The heart knoweth it's bitter. But then we're in denial about that bitterness. Well, I'm not bitter. I had a man one time, somebody else made a comment to him, "Brother, I sense that you're bitter." And he turned around with malice and pointed at me and growled. I didn't say it. And he growled at me. And this is not an exaggeration. He said, "I'm not bitter." I thought, well, I don't know how else to define it. I mean, where do we jump off this train at? You know, I'm not bitter. How dare you accuse me of bitterness? And that's what the heart does. That desperately wicked heart's telling you, you're not bitter. Everybody else is bitter against you. Everybody else has got problems with you. Nobody else likes you. That's what the heart's telling you. That what? Desperately bitter. Bitter. So foul, so seething in bitterness that you can't even realize it. And what a terrible place to live. What an awful place to live. And then maybe move on from there. Hebrews. We'll be done with this. Hebrews chapter 12. And most of you know the text well. We're talking about putting away bitterness. To put something away, sometimes you have to describe it. You have to define it. You have to know what it is before you can put it away. And so he said this in verse 15. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. So why do we put bitterness away? Well, it's a failure of the grace of God. We have failed. We have failed in the grace of God to give leniency to others, forgiveness to others, kindness to others. We won't cut them any kind of slack because of our hurt. We have to make sure everybody else hurts. Some of you, I believe, were here a couple of years ago. We had that synopsis, if you will, on afternoons, several mornings there at Youth Week. We talked about bitterness, and we talked about unforgiveness, and we talked about the hurt. And I think that the subject was why hurt people hurt people. Because I can't forgive. They deserve it. Why do mothers hurt children? Because they have the hurt. Therefore, they need to hurt their children. Why do wives hurt husbands? Because it's a reminder that some man hurt me in the past. Therefore, I'm going to inflict pain on him. Why do men hurt their wives? The same thing. That inward hurt, that inward pain, I'm going to make sure I inflict it on them. You say, well, you're bitter. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. They are. You're angry. No, I'm not. They are. And I'll just point the finger. Everybody else. Everybody else. Everybody else. Everybody else. He said, let this, just put this away from you. Take it. Take it.
Put it away.
Get rid of it. Let me just read another verse here. He said, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and therefore many be defiled.
Yeah,
how do we go back? We've got to go back and unroot the seed. What is the seed of bitterness? It is unforgiveness towards others because of the things that we've had to do, the things that we've had to go through, the pain that's been caused to me. I have to root this out and forgive. But most people don't want to forgive. They don't want to forget. They'd rather bear that bitterness to the day they die. And it's not the bitterness of their soul. It's the bitterness they seethe towards others. Families are destroyed by it. Children are ruined by it. Churches are defiled by it. Nobody is going to tell me I'm bitter. Put it away. Cast it off. Get rid of it. Start forgiving. Can I say this? Go back to where you quit telling the Lord about it. And start telling the Lord about it.
You preachers especially know, and some of you others that have counseled people, dealt with people over the years, you know. As soon as you sit down with somebody
and they tell you your plight, their plight in life, the second they open their mouth and blame somebody else, you know they're bitter.
The second they point the finger at somebody else as the seat of all of their problems,
they're bitter. If God would meet with us this week, it would be a help if you and I would quit blaming everybody else for what we're doing.
Yep. Yes, sir.
There are people that are bitter against pastors for loving. People bitter against evangelists for caring about them. They're bitter against Sunday school teachers that every week labor to teach them and strive to give them understanding and give them wisdom and try to teach them the things of God, and those that are labor in their life and labor in their soul, and they work for their family and they'll fight for their family and they'll fight for the very soul that that person has. And what do they reap from it? Usually it's just bitterness.
I always take it with a grain of salt. And I hear somebody say, well, you know, that preacher, and then they go off and they, you know, that preacher, that preacher, that preacher, that preacher, you know, and it's always money and women, money and women, money and women, money and women. He's taking the money. He's in this for the money. He's in this for the money. You know, if you really want to believe that, just follow us around, please.
Yeah.
It's just the same old accusation. Why bitterness? If you're jealous that I don't have a normal job, travel with us for a while. You got a screaming baby now. You really like it.
I got a neighbor that's so, I mean, she's bitter against us. Every time we see her, she works out at the sheet store. I go in there, you know, pay for gas or whatever, as Rebecca will see her. And I mean, every time we see her, she talks about how much she's working and how many jobs she has. And I worked 75 hours last week at 4 different jobs. And she's quitting this job and getting another job. And every time she says it, it's a dig at me. And eventually, every once in a while, she'll go, I mean, why don't you get a job?
Because God's called me to do this labor.
That's right.
It's not a job, it's a labor.
What does that stop from? Just old bitterness. Oh, that old bitterness gets in there. Boy, just, I can't forgive. Everybody's wronged me. Everybody's trying to steal my money. If you learned how to be a cheerful giver, you wouldn't worry about people stealing your money.
That's right.
I know exactly right. Some of the most stingy, greedy people I've known have been the first ones to say, oh, everybody's in it for the money. Preacher's in it for the money. Ministry's about the money. And they're just greedy. Just
stingy. That's right. Every time.
Yeah. I want you to learn how to be a cheerful giver. Why don't you give to somebody that needs it? You see those people on the side of the road holding up a sign? Listen, we all know they're lying, right? Homeless vet, you know, need food. You know, we all know they're lying, right? You realize a lot of them aren't lying. I guarantee you this, most of them are homeless. They may not be a vet, but they're homeless. I guarantee you this, most of them need food. Not all of them, most of them. Because the problem is, we become embittered. How dare they? How dare me, an honest citizen, a hardworking citizen of the United States of America that pay taxes, how dare they stand on my tax-imbibed highway and beg for money? What a tragedy. Well, I just rejoice and give God the glory that I'm not standing out there today.
Yeah,
and I want to thank the Lord I'm not holding up a sign today.
Yes,
I want to thank the Lord I'm not out begging for money today. In the bitterness of people's soul, they defile the people around them. If you see bitter children, you'll find bitter parents. If you find a bitter church, you'll find a bitter pastor. You find a bitter family, you'll find a bitter father.
Yes, exactly.
Why? Because they cannot forgive. We could go down the rows of the church one by one, and every person here could tell their sob story. And I mean that. I mean a sob story, legitimate, honestly, fairly, a sob story. We could go through and we could each one find the hardest, deepest, darkest hour of our life. And I think there's hardly a person in here that wouldn't be heartbreaking to hear that story. But you know what the difference is?
Yes.
Some have dealt with it.
Yes, thank you.
And they've moved on. And others can't deal with it.
Yes, that's good.
Put it away from you. You deserve worse. Oh, that wasn't nice, was it? Let me find a nice way to say that. Brother Hayne, you're so good at this. I'm not. Possibly, it could be, maybe, you deserved a little bit worse. I don't know. Maybe that helped. I don't know. We deserve far worse than what we got.
Yes, sir.
We deserved hell.
Yes, sir.
We deserved wrath. We deserved judgment. God has a seat in the house of God. Some of us in our right mind, some of us not quite. But he has us seated, he has us clothed, he's provided for us. There's going to be a meal afterwards. We drove our cars here. God has taken care of our needs, he's given us great provision. Can I say to you, we're not standing on the side of the road holding the sign, asking for money this morning. Would you put away bitterness? Would you put away unforgiveness? Would you just put it away out of your life? Listen, not just this week, for the rest of your life, just put it away. I have nothing to complain about. I have nothing to gripe about. I have nothing that I could bring before you, even in the bitterness of my soul. And there's nothing I could testify of how awful I've been treated and how terrible I've been treated, because the Lord has been good to me. The Lord has been so kind to me, so gracious to me. It would be a tragedy for me to stand here and pour mouth and sob mouth and tell you awful things that have happened to me, because the Lord has been so good to us. Get your eyes off money. Get your eyes off your finances. Get your eyes off whether or not God's going to take care. He has told us he'll take care of our needs. He has proven he'll take care of our needs. Get your eyes off your money this week. Let God help you put away that bitterness. And find forgiveness. Pastor, I'm about a minute early.
Pastor, amen. Close the hour of the Lord and have you close.
Page 278.